Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we are doing an overview and an introduction to Matthew chapter 24, which relates to the end times, the second coming of Christ, and that great tribulation period. Today we'll be looking at the expectation the Jews had in the time of Christ in reference to the meaning of the term kingdom. And I'll try and prove, first of all, from the Old Testament, as well as from other Jewish writings outside of the Bible, that the Jews were expecting a literal kingdom upon the earth where the Messiah would rule and reign as the Son of David. I do believe that this is more in line with the premillennial position than any other one which is held today. An excellent source on this topic is entitled A History of the Jewish People in the Time of Jesus Christ by Emil Schur. It's an old work dated in 1893. But what this work does, it presents an overview in 9 different phases in which the Jews were expecting the Messiah to set up their kingdom. And it can be summarized in these 9 following points. And we will look at these 9 points over the next 2 days of our study. So the Jews were expecting the Messiah to come and rule and reign on the earth, and these 9 events would take place most likely in this order. First of all, the coming of the Messiah would be preceded by a time of great tribulation. Second, an Elijah-like forerunner would herald the way for the Messiah. 3, the appearance of the Messiah himself. 4, an alliance of the nations to fight against the Messiah. 5, the destruction of those opposing nations. 6, the restoration of Jerusalem, either a renovation or a new one, coming down out from heaven. 7, the Jews scattered out in the world would be regathered. 8, Jerusalem would become the center of the world with all the nations subject to the Lord. 9, this would usher in a new age of peace where righteousness and divine glory would be present. I'll support these 9 points first of all by reading a passage from the Old Testament which mentions this aspect, and then by quoting Jewish sources outside the Old Testament to make this point clear. And once again, you'll see that this is very close or very similar to the premillennial position, which teaches that there will be a 7-year tribulation period. At the end, the Lord will come back and establish his kingdom by force and rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. They're seated on the throne of David in Jerusalem, ruling as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So let's look at these 9 points one by one. Step 1, the coming of the Messiah would be preceded by a time of great tribulation. This is clearly seen for us in the Old Testament in the book of Zechariah as well as in Jeremiah. Zechariah 14 verses 1 and 2 read this way, "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city will be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city will go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city." So Jerusalem itself will be a center of activity and destruction in the last days. Also, Jeremiah 30, verses 4 through 7, makes us very clear as to this time of tribulation. It reads this way. "Now these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah." Now, notice the context. This is for the nation of Israel. "For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins, like a woman in labor, and all faces turn pale? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is a time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." These are the very words from Matthew 24, where Jesus said, when that abomination of desolation takes place, then there'll be great tribulation, since there never has been, since there's been a nation. And here Jeremiah refers to it as a time of Jacob's trouble, and Jacob, remember, his name was changed to Israel. And so here it's a time for Israel to go into trouble, and it's referred to as a time in which there are labor pains, or men are buckled over as if they were in labor. That's how intense this time of tribulation will be. At this time, I'd like to quote from 3 Jewish sources outside of the Old Testament, but yet ones which the Jews would have used to have an impact upon their understanding of the last days. The first one comes from 2 Baruch, chapter 27. Now, a brief summary of this book is as follows. It was written some 30 to 50 years after the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. It's based on old tradition and stresses that the loss of the temple was due to the disobedience to the law of God. And it contains 7 different sections in it. Some of the important sections related to the destruction of the temple, the impending judgment, retribution, the messianic era, and then a portion on the end times which related to the resurrected body in paradise. And this book reads this way. "And honor shall be turned into shame, and strength humiliated into contempt, and probity destroyed, and beauty shall become ugliness, and envy shall rise in those who had not thought aught of themselves, and passion shall seize them that is peaceful. And many shall be stirred up on anger to injure many. And they shall rouse up armies in order to shed blood. And in the city they shall perish together with them. Second Esdras, written in the last decade of the first century, written after the destruction of the temple. And in that work it speaks of quakings of places, tumults of peoples, schemings of nations, confusion of leaders, disquietude of princes. And then another very interesting work called the Jewish Sibylline Oracles, written 3rd century BC. Now the Sibyls were pagan prophetess who wrote in poetic and enigmatic forms. They announced a restoration of the Jewish kingdom, and that would all center around the Jewish temple. And this text was preserved by believers due to the fact they believe they gave pagan testimony to the true religion. And this text reads this way. From heaven shall fall fiery swords down to the earth. Light shall come, bright and great, flashing into the midst of men and earth. The universal mother shall take in these days at the hand of the eternal. And the fishes of the sea and the beasts of the earth and the countless tribes of flying things and all the souls of men in every sea shall shudder at the presence of the eternal, and there shall be panic. And the towering mountain peaks and the hills of the giants he shall rend, and the murky abyss shall be visible to all. And the high ravens and the lofty mountains shall be full of dead bodies, and rocks shall flow with blood, and each torrent shall flood the pain. And God shall judge with war and sword, and there shall be brimstone from heaven, yea, stones and rain and hail, incessant and grievous. And death shall be upon the four-footed beasts. Yea, the land itself shall drink the blood of the perishing, and the beasts shall eat their fill of flesh. And so here we see Jewish sources outside the Bible also supporting the idea that the end times can be summarized as a time of great tribulation. And one other source on this is the Mishnah, which was written just prior to the coming of Christ. And it was a very important Jewish document. It reads this way about the last days. Arrogance increases. Ambitions shoot up. The vine yields fruit, yet wine is dear. The government turns to heresy. There is no instruction. The synagogue is devoted to lewdness. Galilee is destroyed, Gablin laid waste. The inhabitants of a district go from city to city without finding compassion. The wisdom of the learned is hated, the godly despised, truth is absent. Boys insult old men stand in the presence of children. The son depreciates the father, the daughter rebels against the mother, the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. A man's enemies are his house fellows. And so here it speaks of this immoral, lewd time in reference to the last days. The second phase in which the Jews were expecting the last day's events to take place was that an Elijah-like forerunner would herald the way for the Messiah. And the Old Testament scripture which points to this fact is Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. It says, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On this day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." Now, I don't have an exact written text that the Jews would have used, but according to their oral tradition, the Jews held that any dispute over money or land would have to wait for the time when Elijah was here to settle these disputes. Now, the oral tradition is very strong, even in the land of Israel, to those Orthodox Jews today. It's not on the same par as Scripture, but they hold it to be sacred and extremely important. And this is why the Jews were waiting for Elijah to show up before the great and terrible day of the Lord. The third step in the line of prophecy in the Old Testament is that the Messiah himself would appear. And Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 says this, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he'll prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." Now, there are numerous sources outside the Old Testament that said the Messiah would establish his kingdom and glory and vindicate his people. They were looking for the appearance of the Messiah to come to earth. The fourth step is that there'd be an alliance of the nations to fight against the Messiah. And the passages that I would give to you are Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, which are obviously too lengthy to read, but Daniel chapter 11 also records such wars. In verses 40 through 45, it reads this way. At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, with many ships, and he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. And in Daniel chapter 11, verses 40 through 45, describes some of the wars that the Antichrist will be involved with. And verse 45 reads this way: "And he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain," and especially this phrase, "yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him." And him coming to his end is a reference to these nations forming together to fight against the Lord at the second coming. Revelation chapter 20 speaks of the Lord coming out of heaven and destroying all of his enemies. Now, a couple Jewish sources, one once again from the Sibylline Oracles, reads this way. It says, "The kings of the nations shall throw themselves against this land, bringing retribution on themselves. They shall seek to ravage the shrine of the mighty God and of the noblest men, whosoever they come to the land. In a ring around the city, the accursed king shall place each other on his throne with the infidel people by him. And then with a mighty voice, God shall speak unto all the undisciplined, empty-minded people, and judgment shall come upon them from the mighty God. And all shall perish at the hands of the eternal." And the reference to the eternal is obviously a reference to God. And 2 Esdras predicts this: "It shall be that when all the nations hear his," the Messiah's, "voice, every man shall leave his own land, and the warfare they have one against the other, and the innumerable multiple shall be gathered together, desiring to fight against him." This is exactly what is described as the Battle of Armageddon, that these armies come together to fight, and the Lord comes out of heaven and destroys them. And here these texts tell us that in the midst of their own battles, all these nations are going to stop fighting to go in war against the Messiah. Up to this point, we've only been able to look at the first four phases, and I'll repeat what those are. First of all, the coming of Messiah would be preceded by a time of great tribulation. Second, an Elijah-like forerunner would herald the way of the Messiah. Third, the appearance of the Messiah. He'd actually literally come to the earth. And fourth, an alliance of the nations to fight against the Messiah. We'll leave the other five for our study tomorrow. I hope you're seeing that this pattern that we're looking at from the Old Testament, as well as from the Jewish sources, fit directly with the premillennial understanding of the end times. If you'd like more information or other studies that we have done, you could call us at our new toll-free number, which is 1-877-941-LAMB. Or if you'd like information about the correspondence that our Bible school offers, you could call us at that same number. That's 1-877-941-LAMB, which is our new toll-free.